Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord, and by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. Before we get started today, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us, thankful for our salvation, thankful for your grace and strength. And Father, we pray that we could be that you would have us to be. Father, we know that's not by our strength, but by the grace and strength that you give us. Help us to look to you, to lean upon you, to trust you in all things, that your will could be accomplished. Forgive us for our sins and shortcomings. Strengthen us where we're weak, and for the good that is accomplished. Let us step aside and give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. As we come today, we're going to turn to the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, if you know in your Bibles, Elijah is just called fire down from heaven, and it's consumed the offering. The prophets of Baal have been slain, and it looks like a great victory. This is a moment in time, man. There's great rejoicing. The false prophets are killed. God has shown himself. God's revealed himself unto his people, and this is a great time. But yet, this will be about the lowest point of Elijah's life. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Sometimes, when we think everything's going right and one thing goes wrong, sometimes that messes us up. And the reason that I believe that God has led us to this scripture today is that we're able to see that our feelings and our emotions are not what we go by. We go by facts and truth. And even Elijah, as great a man as he was of the Lord, got overwhelmed by his feelings and emotions. I know as a minister, I've been preaching now for, let me think for a moment, almost 23 years. I've been preaching almost 23 years, if I've got my numbers correct there. And, in that time that I've been preaching, there's a lot of ups and downs. A pastor's life that truly has his heart in the work is not an easy thing. And I know other preachers that might be listening to me on their way to church or whatever it might be, or on their way home from church, whatever it might be on whatever station's playing this. They probably know exactly what I'm talking about. There's a lot of emotions. There are times when you feel like another failure. There are times that you feel pretty high and lifted up. I get more scared in those times than the times when I'm depressed. But there's a lot of emotions there, and sometimes emotions from both sides are a lot to deal with. And I think that's probably the same for any child of God that's trying to follow Him. It doesn't have to be a preacher. I think these are things that we all deal with, and it's things we need to deal with. We need to weed through all of our emotions and get to the truth. And in dealing with those things, there's people that have told me before, and I've had conversations and counseling with people on different things. They'll say, "Preacher, I shouldn't think this way. Preacher, I shouldn't feel this way. Preacher, I shouldn't have acted this way." And while there might be times that you might say, yes, you shouldn't feel that way, you shouldn't do this, but those emotions are part of what we go through, and we've got to take those emotions and give them unto the Lord. We're not to be led of our emotions. We're to be led by the Spirit of God. And Elijah dealt with something here, and beginning in verse 1 of 1 Kings chapter 19, it says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, 'So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time.'" And Elijah's just had his life threatened by the queen. That's what's happened. And an evil queen at that. This was an evil woman. I know there's all kinds of things said about politicians in our days, and some of it might well be true. But Jezebel was certainly an evil woman. And she had set it on her heart that she was going to have Elijah killed. And instead of having the thought, God's watching over me, God can take care of me and fight my battles and overcome, Elijah gets scared. And that's something I think that we can relate to. I think there's many of us dealing with the elections and dealing with things of government and dealing with the ways of the world and the sinfulness of the world. I think there's times we probably let our fears get the best of us. And we don't have our faith in God like we should. And I'm not casting stones with that. I'm saying all of us no doubt have had those emotions to deal with and those feelings to deal with. And what are we going to do in this situation? What are we going to do in that situation? We think about our kids. We think about feeding our family. We think about being able to raise them up as we see fit in the Lord. And what obstacles? Well, I have to go to jail. What things are going to come up? What are we going to face? And we need to have our eyes on God and not all the things that are going on round about us. If I can encourage you in something, no matter what happens in the elections, and whether they're stolen, whatever comes, I'm not saying we don't need to stand up for our beliefs. I'm not saying that there might not be battles, and I'm talking mainly spiritual battles that we have to deal with and go through. I'm not saying you're not going to have to face those things. I'm telling you we need to be able to look to God through those things. If you'll study church history, you know that God's people have faced great persecution by governments over the years. And if we have to go through that again, if God gave them the grace and strength to go through it, then God can give us the same grace and strength to go through it also. And so we need to keep our eyes upon Him. But at this moment, Elijah got in a pretty low state. And after hearing this, it says, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. I mean, he's running. He's fleeing for his life. And came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." Now notice the attitude that Elijah has. It's an attitude of quit. It's an attitude of I failed. There's a lot of times, and I know there's probably some of you ministers out there that have dealt with this. There's probably church members that feel like this in their own life, and maybe how they raised their children and how they dealt with things at work or how they followed the Lord, and they just feel like they failed. You know, one of my works is that God has given me to do is I work with small churches. And you know, when you put yourself into that position, and I'm just giving an example here, but I think in any of the churches you deal with today, I think a lot of people can relate to this, but when you put yourself into those very small churches, and I'm talking about, you know, some churches that have 12 people going or have 20 people going and things of that, and they're on the verge of, if they don't start to get more people in, you know, they'll shut the doors. And sometimes my job over the past several years, however long it's been, at least 10 years, probably a dozen or more now, that the Lord's had me in that kind of work. Well, there's churches that have shut their door. And you feel like, well, I was preaching them, well, I failed them. That's not always the case. Sometimes you're a witness. Sometimes you were giving them a chance to repent. And while I can know that in my head, getting that across to my heart sometimes is a different subject. Because I'll be honest with you, if I see a door closed where I've gone in and worked, my feeling is I failed. And sometimes that might well be the case. Maybe I did fail them. Maybe I didn't put in enough work. And I have to examine those things and getting emotions out of the way and trying to just look for the truth is sometimes a difficult thing to do. I think many of you can probably relate to that. Even if you've never preached or been a preacher, you can relate to that in work. If you've started your own business and it fails, because most people that start a business, it fails. And you feel like a failure. Well, that's not always the case. But that's the way Elijah feels. And we're like, well, how does Elijah feel that way when he just called fire down from heaven to consume an offering? They killed the prophets of Baal. And, you know, you'd think that's a great time of revival. That's not how Elijah felt. And people say, you know, a Christian would never get to the place where they would take their own life or think about suicide. Elijah ain't thinking suicide here, but he is asking God to take him out of this world. He is asking for death. And some people say, oh, a Christian would never get in that place. I tell you what, you haven't put yourself out into the field and out into the battlefield sometimes if you probably haven't dealt with this emotion. Feeling like you've given it all and you feel like you've done nothing. That's a strong emotion. And you know, one of the statements he made here is, I am not better than my fathers. He felt like some of the prophets, some of the people that came before him were better than he was. And I don't know if that's the truth or not. I'm not getting into that side of it, but I know that feeling. You know, I look up to men that came before me, and I think about men. Some of y'all might not know these names, but I think about a Brother Clyde Cooper. I think about a Brother James Broome, Brother Fred Smith. I don't feel like I'm worthy to be compared to those men. I've heard about some of these missionaries that came before me years ago that went out and started churches, and some of them had hot scalding water thrown on them and guns pulled on them and still preached the gospel, took punches for the gospel. I definitely don't feel like I'm in their category. And I see the things that they accomplished and the things that were done and their life's work. And in a lot of ways, you know, I just got them up on a different level. And I say, God, I'm nowhere near that. I'm nowhere near those men. Certainly then you compare yourself to Paul, and certainly all the way you go to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, we all fall short of Him. We all fall short of the Lord. But I mean, he's got this feeling, I'm not good enough. No, none of us are. None of us are good enough to serve God. None of us are good enough. And I know there's qualifications for ministers and there's qualifications for deacons. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just the feeling, just the emotion. You know, I'm not a good servant of Christ. Well, we need to do better. And there's always room to grow. There's always room to improve. But Elijah, instead of seeing there's work to be done, I need to get up and be about it, he was ready to quit. He was ready to give up. He was ready to faint, is the word that's used a lot of times in Scripture. And you read on down, it says, and as he lay under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Now notice the statement by the angel, the journey is too great for thee. What God has for you to do, you're not strong enough to do it, Elijah. But yet God provided the food, God provided the water, and God's even going to give him the spiritual things that he needs to accomplish what God would have him to accomplish. And it says, and he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of the meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. So this is now 40 days later. He's felt sorry for himself. He's got strength. He went and did what God had for him to do on this journey. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? The location is not the subject of the question. The emotional condition that Elijah was in is the subject. Which a lot of times our emotional condition, depression and anxieties and all these other things, is really a product of a spiritual condition. A lot of times the reason we're scared of things and the reason we have doubts and the reason we have fears is we're not putting our faith in God as we should. And that's the way it is here with Elijah. He was afraid of what Jezebel would do. He felt like a failure. He felt like he was just ready to quit and give up. And spiritually, he is in a bad place. Spiritually, he's not where he needs to be. And if that can happen to Elijah, you think it can't happen to us? Well, it surely can. You think God hasn't ever come to his people today and said, "What are you doing here?" Not talking again about the location, but the spirituality of where they are, the doubts, the fears. Did not Christ rebuke Peter and the other disciples when they lacked faith? He said, "Why did you doubt? Where is thy faith?" There's times he would ask those questions, didn't he? And if he could ask it to Peter and John and these other men, you think he wouldn't say the same thing to us? You think we wouldn't have times? There's some people said, "Oh, if I was really a Christian, I wouldn't doubt here. Oh, if I was really a Christian, I wouldn't feel this way. Oh, if I was really, you know, a child of God, I wouldn't have this emotion. I wouldn't have these feelings." And I'm going, no, that's part of our battle. And we have to overcome these things so that we can see the blessings of God in our life, so that we can accomplish the will of God in our life. And we're trying to look at several scriptures that deal with this. We dealt with, David's sin last week, and we're dealing here with Elijah and his condition and his doubt and his fears and his desire just to quit. And I'm reading these things to you to let you know if you have emotions like these, you're not the only one that's ever had them. You're not alone. It's one thing to have these emotions and these feelings. It's another thing to give in to them. And the Lord has said unto Elijah, "What doest thou here?" God has given us all the weapons to fight the good fight. God has given us every tool where we can be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And sometimes God's looking at us when we're ready to quit and we're ready to faint or we're ready to give in to sin or whatever it might be. And He's saying, "What are you doing here? Why are you like this?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." I'm the only one left. Can y'all imagine how good I would be in the work of God if I felt like I'm the only one left preaching the truth? You know, sometimes there's people that think that jealousy should be involved. There's been a couple of young preachers preach, and every time that I hear somebody surrender, I try to get them over and preach if I can. I don't have a 100% record on that, but I try to keep it pretty high if I can. I try to give those young men an opportunity if I can. I love to spend a day with them where I can talk to them and try to encourage them and be a blessing to them. But I get excited when I find one that's on fire for God and is strong doctrinally and is rooted, grounded, and settled. And there's times you can see somebody that is going down the right path. There's been some men that have surrendered since I've preached that I have the highest respect for. You have to judge everyone individually. I know that. But there's times when some preach and they make a stand and they serve God, and I hit my knees and pray for them and try my best to encourage them and do what I can to help them. And I know I probably fail in that in a lot of ways, but I get really excited when there's young men that, they're coming to preach the gospel and they're coming to preach the truth unto God's people and things of this nature. I tell you what, I get excited. I do. I get excited about it. People say, "Preacher, you like to sit and listen to young ministers when they're preaching the truth." I do. And I hear them preaching the truth. I want to amen them. I want to wrap an arm around them and hug them and say, "Man, I'm praying for you. I'm so glad." I tell you what, it meant a lot when I was a young minister. There were some of those older men that when I started preaching and you know, I made mistakes. I had to be corrected sometimes. And I know that wasn't fun, but it was sometimes needful. But I remember some of those men encouraging me. And when I would preach the truth, I can remember one man came up for prayer, an older minister one time. And he said, "Brother Brandon, that was a fine message. It was scriptural. It was sound." And I tell you, for that man to say that to me, it meant the world to me. And he just let me know he was praying for me and tried to encourage me. And I tell you what, I'll be honest with you. I've been preaching, like I said, for 23 years. There's some older men that have been preaching, you know, maybe 30 years or more longer than I've been preaching. And when they still tell me to this day, "Brother Brandon, appreciate what you're doing. Appreciate you being faithful." Look, it still means something to me. Because I've got such respect for those men. And when I hear these younger men, and I know some of them go the wrong way, and that breaks your heart to see that. And they go the way of the world, and they preach false doctrine and preach things that are wrong. And while that's discouraging, I always tell people when I hear somebody that surrenders and they're preaching the truth, oh, it brings me great joy. It brings me rejoicing because I know this work isn't about me. It's about the truth of God's Word. And look, I want my children to have good preachers to listen to. I want my grandchildren to have good preachers to listen to. And some people say, "Oh, you might be jealous. They might preach more revivals. They might pastor bigger churches." And I don't care. I'm so excited when there's good men. I'm so excited when the truth is being preached. But if I got in the condition like Elijah did, and I'm not going to say I've never dealt with that feeling. I have felt what he felt there. There's been times that I have felt that way. And it is not an emotion you want to stay in for long. You want to repent and say, "God, forgive me for thinking that way. God, forgive me for behaving that way." But he was in this condition. If we think we're the only ones that ever felt like Elijah did, we're not. There's others that have those same emotions and same feelings. I know in the sinful world we live in, and even all the sin that's coming to the churches, I know that you get discouraged sometimes. I know you do. Because I do. I do. There's times that we deal with these emotions of feeling like, well, we failed. And if so, then we need to renew our efforts. We need to renew ourselves and say, well, we need to get back with God, see where we messed up, and get some things right. We feel like we're the only ones left. We need to look around and try to find somebody that's still preaching the truth and say, you know what, we're not the only ones. This one over here is preaching the truth. That one over there is preaching the truth. And get some encouragement. But he said, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He was in a bad place of self-pity, wasn't he? You and I can get there too. And you may have been there a few times in your life. I know I have in mine. But that's when we need to get out of pity and look to the Lord. Get our eyes upon Him. And He said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and a strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." You know, one of the things that I'm reminded to do sometimes to help get my mind where it needs to be and my heart where it needs to be is I have to take time to go into my closet, so to speak, and just have time alone with God. And time alone in the Word and listening to it. And times to just be still. To be still. And hear from the Lord. Do we take time to be still and just hear from God? You need it. You need it more than you know. There's all kinds of things going on about us, and sometimes things like, oh, there's a fire over here, there's an earthquake over here, there's a storm over here. All this is going on. God, He says, I'm not in that. He said He was in a still, small voice. Do we ever get quiet enough where we can hear the Lord? We can listen to Him. He speaks to us through His Word. Do we ever get quiet enough to turn off the world and listen to Him? Or turn off the world and we carry our burdens and cares unto Him and trust Him with it? And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering end of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? I've been ashamed sometimes in my life, and it might have been where nobody else noticed, but I knew it. That I got in some places that I was in pretty bad shape spiritually. Didn't mean I was out there sinning or doing something horrible. That's not what I'm saying there. It is a sin to doubt God. It is a sin to know to do good and do it not. There's times that I have felt empty, so to speak. Depressed, discouraged, alone. But as a child of God, I'm never alone. It's easy to get caught up in self-pity. It's easy to let our emotions control us. And there has definitely been times where I've been in a bad state, and then God would say, What doest thou here? What doest thou here? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenants, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword, and I, even I, only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king of Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elijah the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And what's the Lord saying? There's some work to be done. Get up and get to it. It's amazing, isn't it? And he lets him know he's got 7,000 in Israel in verse 18, which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which had not kissed him. He says, you're sitting over here telling me you're all by yourself and you're alone. He said, I got 7,000 people faithfully following me. I know in a number of hundreds of thousands of people, 7,000 might be small, but when you're feeling like you're all alone, and God says, I got 7,000 never bowed a knee unto Baal. They've never kissed him. You're not alone. Get to work. Dear friend, today, if you're trying to serve the Lord and trying to follow Him, can I tell you, you're not alone. And even if we were the last man on earth believing upon Christ, we're still not alone. For God is with us. Don't be discouraged. Don't be downhearted. Have faith and follow the Lord, for our victory is in Jesus. Let us not forget who we follow, and our victory is in Him. This is the burden that God has given us. If you have anything upon your heart, our number is 601-606-4681. You can write us, Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll take this message, use it to Your honor and glory for the good accomplished through it. Let us step aside and give You the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.